Is it reasonable to be worried that this might be a financial disaster of a similar scale?
Yes.
Do you think it is?
So understand it this way. Before the coronavirus was on anybody's radar screen, this economy was already showing the cracks. Lending defaults, loan defaults were up. Small businesses were failing and not able to service their debts. There were declines in manufacturing. You kind of could see shaky signs in the economy. Problem number one. And then problem number two, the Trump administration had spent the bailout tools. So they'd done this ginormous tax break, right, and ballooned the debt, and done rate cuts to juice the economy. And the consequence of both of those had not been investment in the real economy. It had been to do things like stock buybacks that produced a lot of profits for a handful of folks at the top and for the corporate executives, but didn't actually create more goods and more services in the economy. So, okay. So you've got a kind of cracky economy and you've got the tools spent down, and then along comes the coronavirus. And now you're going to get hit again because it's things like supply chains, the trucks that are stopped in China, and just literally the stuff is just not coming over. So manufacturers here in the United States that need 147 parts to put something together to send it out, two of those parts come from China. You're done. You need the ingredients to be able to manufacture a drug, and two of those come from China, and you're just done on this. So that starts twisting the economy. Then part two, you have an economy right now that is deeply interrelated. Five big banks in America now, and they're not only here, they're tied all around the world. So as soon as one of these businesses that can't do its manufacturing or can't produce its drugs because it has a supply chain problem, can't make a loan payment, and you start stacking those up, all of a sudden those banks they're in trouble themselves. More defaults on the loans. Now the bank starts to get into trouble because, like what happened in the mortgage market, more defaults, the defaults start to stack up and the risk starts to go up. Now, the banks have already tried to seize advantage from this and said, I know, reduce supervision of the banks. Very bad idea, right? This is not the time to reduce supervision of the bank. But that's the second problem in this. Then there's a third problem, an incompetent administration. Right. And an incompetent administration is like its own natural disaster. When you've got a president who engages in magical thinking and says, no, he decided there were only 15 cases and they would all be gone by April. And whatever it is he decides, my gosh, it almost doesn't matter what he decides. The point is, he's not listening to the scientists. He's not listening to the experts on this. And then he picks Mike Pence as the person in the White House who's really going to be in charge of this. He picked the one person who actually has experience with a healthcare crisis. And that was back in Indiana, and Mike Pence was in charge as governor and made it a whole lot worse. It's like the worst of all connections here. So if we were doing our dead level best and going at this smart, we'd be working on the coronavirus. We would be working on the tests, as you talked about at the top, the vaccines. We would set aside a big fund of money so that we now would let anybody take sick leave who is diagnosed so people can keep themselves inside and try to at least slow down the spread. There are a lot of steps we could be taking. They're not taking them. They're engaged in the magical thinking, but there are also steps we could be taking on the economic front, and it's not just a rate cut. It's actually, we need to be talking about stimulus now. Mm. And look, yeah, they did the tax cuts and ran the debt up, and that makes it a lot tougher for us to get stimulus through now. So all these pieces are related to each other, and none of them are good.